It. The third Sunday of every month is Mission Sunday, where we focus on missionaries, some of our missionaries. We will have a report, and all of the proceeds of the offering that come in, tithes and offering that come in on Sunday morning, go towards missions. And so we have many missionaries, and if you ever wondering who our missionaries are, there is a board that is just on the wall by the washrooms there, and it kind of tells the mission organization that our missionaries are working with, serving with, and a little bit of some information on how to contact them. The odd time we get to have an odd missionary with us, once in a while we get to have missionaries with us and share the whole service. And so today we have Norm McCallum and Dave Wright are going to come up. They are serving with Ethnos. I think many of you may know that they do serve, and their offices are out of in our church upstairs. They have some offices. So they're going to just share a little bit about what God has been doing in and through their ministry. And so they will have the service this morning. Can I just pray with you before? If you guys need a table, you can use some stuff on there. Here, Norm, I'll put your water on there. You need a water, Dave? Let's just pray with these gentlemen just before they share of what God is doing in the ministries that they are called to serve in. Heavenly Father, we just come before you with thanksgiving in our hearts, and we thank you for these two faithful servants that are serving you in incredible ministries and giving them incredible opportunities. And Father, we just see the fruit of that. And God, we give you all the praise and glory. And as they share these opportunities, I pray that we would, as a brothers and sisters in Christ, as a family, recognize how we can be a part of this and how we have been a part of this and how we can continue to be a part of ministries in missions, whether it's overseas, whether it's locally, or whether it's in the up north. And so, God, thank you just for the incredible opportunities that you have given Ethnos, the team that works out of our offices. And, Father, we just pray that you would be honored and glorified as they share this morning. Pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. God bless you today. Everybody's still awake, eh? That's good. It's a good sign. Well, we're glad to be here. At least I'm glad to be here, and so is my partner, Dave. It's awesome to be working together there as a brother in the Lord. There's no difference. A lot of people think there's a difference, but no, not when you're what God's asked you to do something, you do it, eh? Before we start, I want to go to the book of Jeremiah and read from chapter 29, verses 10 and 10 to 13. It says here, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and of evil, to give you a future," pardon me, sorry about that. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." He doesn't want half of your heart. He wants all of your heart. As I was reading this a couple of days ago before I was come to Warman, I was thinking of my plan, Norman's plan. But you know, my plan is not God's plan. And I want to follow God's plan. That's why we're here this morning, to share what God is doing. And we give him all the glory. In our Cree language, we say, "Wiyapogo, kiakitse." That means him only. He gets all the glory. I don't know how to say it in low German, but you guys know how to say it, eh? But anyways, God bless you. Here's my partner.
And so it's been an incredible journey, and we're titling this Us Together because this is a journey that, Norm and I, we've been together, and it's been a really cool opportunity, and sometimes they call us salt and pepper as we're going forward, but as to operate as equals, complete equals as true brothers in Christ, and we've had the privilege of working beyond cultures and working beyond ethnics to demonstrate that two brothers can submit to each other. But the story is even bigger than that. This is Us Together as Ozer Mission Chapel and what Establish is doing, and so this is your story as well as what God is doing. And we want to recount some of this morning so that you hear this story, you rejoice with us, you pray with us, and see the opportunities in front of us. So our desire in all of this is to see believers established in Christ and empowered to begin a disciple-making movement throughout Canada and beyond. And that's a God-sized vision. It's beyond us. It's not possible through us. But this is what we're trusting God to do in the days and the months ahead. And the story kind of, and so this team is bigger than just Norm and I. Here's the bigger team that we operate with and we fellowship with and have sacrificially given of themselves. And you'll see a few of those names on that list that on the slide here that have helped with this. There's two names that are not on this. That's Craig Bauman and Brent Risto, where they're also part of much of this development. And so we're thankful for the team effort that God is doing to make this happen. But this story kind of begins with with what Ethnos has done for the last 75 years as we planted churches, indigenous churches around the world. And then fast forward, new indigenous believers in Papua New Guinea, they then revised this method to meet needs within their own context. As a result, lives were transformed, and after 2 years of discipling, they went to plant their first church on their own. All of this discipling took place at a grassroots level from within their local community, and that's a story that my wife and I got to be a part of for many, many years, and I thought that's what we would continue to be until this gentleman called us early in 2015. We're home on a furlough, and he called us, and we met at Tim Hortons, and I'll let Norm tell this part of the story.
Well, we had a conference at Grace Mennonite, and the pastor, Daryl Newdorf, said, there's a gentleman from Papua New Guinea that you should talk to. So I invited him to a conference. He said, I can't come. My schedule is such and such. So we rescheduled a conference for Dave. So he didn't get away from us. He tried to. But anyways, so I told him, I'm going to want to meet you at Tim Hortons. And he begins to tell me about this chronological teaching from the beginning. And just, it seemed like a light bulb came on. But for many years, our native people have never been told the truth. They've never been told from the beginning, Genesis 1:1, that God in heaven created the heavens and the earth. We've never been told, or I've never been told. We had no hymn books, no Bibles, and everything was in Latin in our church. For all I know, the priest could be doing whatever. Anyways, so finally, we got together with Dave, and he talked to his boss in Ethnos, and Dave said that I got this native guy here that wants to do something, and so there Dave, what did you tell him? He said, you want to open the door or close the door?
Well, I just in the sense, like Norm began to call every week, and then every month, and then every 2 weeks, and then every week, and just shared more and more of the story from New Guinea. And the more I shared, the more he talked. And by the end of 2015, he said, Dave, we need to do this because what we're doing isn't working. So I said, okay, you're the elder. Where do we start? And so we've been on this journey since January 2016, developing this resource that we now call Establish, indigenous and non-indigenous believers speaking into it and developing it. It's a foundational disciple-making series that begins in Genesis and ends in Revelation. It provides a step-by-step journey in disciple-making to establish all people in Christ and empower them to begin discipling. And so here's some of the story of some of the people that we've been engaging with over the last 7.5 years. And we'll let Norm kind of speak into some of these stories as to God allowing us to engage with so many different ones.
Just before Dave and I started our first journey up to Buffalo Narrows, I had made many, many trips going to each community, just talking to people who would listen to me. I'd begin telling them about Jesus. I'd go back and tell them again and again, and that's when Dave came on board, and it just started to plant together. Lord, what do you want us? What do you want us to do? We want the Holy Spirit to guide us and to tell us where to go. And so we started off in Buffalo Narrows. There was about 40 people in the room, and all different backgrounds, different religions, and it was just scary. And we started having a meeting, and halfway through our meeting, a medicine man came in, witch doctor. And everybody kind of just looked and said, wow. I went and met the man at the door, sat him down, treat him like everybody. But we didn't follow his agenda. So what he did is he went out the door. He began to curse us. So one of our fellow members said that greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. But we said, we love you. And that was our first beginning. Wow, what a start.
But as we gathered there in Buffalo Narrows, we had Dene believers, Cree, Métis, White, strong charismatic, very strong Calvinistic believers all sitting at the same table for 5 hours on every second Saturday of the month and just pouring into God's word. And some would even get up to go to the washroom, like, we want more. They were starving for teaching. And many of our indigenous leaders in the north, the one thing they need is we need teaching, we need teaching, we need teaching, we need teaching. And we have the opportunity just to take them to the truths of God's word.
That one guy, there's a couple that said, we want to start a few months later. And a couple of the native people stood up and said, no, we want it now. And second question they asked was, how long are you staying here? And how much does it cost? Because historically, people have come and they didn't get the money, they leave. And we told them, we'll stay here as long as you want us to stay. And we're still going. I just came back from Buffalo Narrows on Thursday night. So.
Yeah, so as we began in Buffalo Narrows, and about a year later, Pinehouse Lake, Saskatchewan asked us if we would come and just sit around the table, and they literally put their arms wide open, and said, would you please come? And just a privilege to sit around the table with our brothers and sisters in Christ and just walking them through the foundations. And one of them exclaimed partway through the first foundational level, we never knew why Jesus had to die. And as we've been built on the second level of our identity and secured in Christ, 20 of them, picture this, around the table, tears just running down their faces. They said, we're this significant to God? They said, if we were to give one word to describe ourselves, it'd be the word insignificant. And just the privilege of just declaring who they are in Christ, and just to see them literally just before eyes just begin to blossom and understanding their identity and security in Christ and just setting them free.
And you know the beauty, when we're in 102, we would be sitting around the table, all of a sudden, our native brothers and women, men and women, would just switch over from English to Cree. It was just like music. It was awesome. And now they are teaching their own people in their own language. Hallelujah to the Lamb. God is good. It's only because of God and this church that have stood with us all through this time. So that's where your support is going. Many people that the devil won't get.
So these next couple of slides are I just want to kind of walk through. You're not going to be able to read all the points, but want you to realize that as we're creating this particular resource that we're calling Establish, we're doing it as we're sitting and looking at people in the eyes. And so there's the Northern teaching that we're involved in, then Olzer Mission Chapel. Many of you were part of that early development of these resources. Then there's some training that went on, and then the curriculum development to point five, and then soon right away point version one. And so many of these people, so many of you, and so many of these folks that we're engaging with, speaking into these resources, developing them so that they actually engage people and work where they're at. And so here's a map of some of the places that we've been going to, some more than others, and there's some few other places not on this map that should be there, but God has used us and allowed us to travel many, many kilometers to share what he is doing. Just to continue on the timeline a little bit further, this is when Buffalo Narrows came on, just trying many different ideas. Pine House came involved, further in Olzer Mission Chapel, other engage training models, more curriculum. And then this is kind of where we've been of recent, just kind of developing the resources, further extending the relationships, and seeing God continue to work. And in March of 2020, we realized that version one that many of you engaged with, we needed to go back to the drawing board, so we scrapped the first three levels, and we went back as a team to rewrite and redevelop and sharpen and simplify those resources. And so last year, the first level, version two, came out. This year, now version two of the second levels come out, and God is continuing to bless and move us forward. Now, part of what I want you to hear this morning is Norm is 81 years of age. And Norm, if you see that line across the top, Northern Networking, Norm has worked tirelessly to open so many of these doors. He has driven many kilometers to make much of this happen. And about 5 years ago, the Lord brought Aurelia into his life, a godly lady from BC, and so then Norm ended up reluctantly in BC, but that's where God led him. And one Sunday morning, he woke up and said to his wife, "We need to go to the Alliance Church this morning." And as they went there that particular morning, the pastor of this large church stood up and they said, "We as the elders have been praying for the last number of years. What are we going to do to reach the 12 indigenous communities around Kamloops?" And so the pastor said, "We want to start moving forward, but we don't know what we're doing. We need help." And so Norm went up to the pastor that morning and said to them, "I will help you." And so Norm came on staff part-time to help them as their indigenous consultant and elder in that particular church. And so as a result of that relationship, God has been building a team there in Kamloops Alliance. And with Norm's leadership, and just before he came on staff there, they found all of those bodies and all at the residential school. And Norm being a Daniel, guess where he went as an elder? He went right into the lion's den, as it were, sitting and praying with hurting people and sharing the love of Jesus Christ. And so through a number of events that the church has held, the chief, an unbeliever on that large reserve, she actually came to the church and said, here's a room on the reserve that you as a church can use for anything that you want. And this is the work and the tireless work of Norm. And so praise the Lord for what God is using. And these are some of the pictures of what God is doing through him there.
But you know, with God, all things are possible. And you know, I sat for days and days with elders praying and crying when they found those 215 graves. But you know, I just listened to them, listened to the Holy Spirit. And you know, our people are in trouble. As I travel across the land, our people are in trouble. So we need to go. Don't be afraid to talk to our people. They need Jesus just as much as you do. Many people write us off. They bellyache about us and everything. But God loves us. Loves the same as you. So in Kamloops, what has happened, we begin to pray and pray and go deeper and deeper. And we prayed for Establish to come on the reserve. And it, praise the Lord, it started this September for 10 months. The reserve, we prayed and prayed And you know what? The sanctuary of the residential school, right in the center, have opened the doors for the Bible to be taught in that building. Only God in heaven can do that. Only God in heaven.
A year ago, the church led a prayer walk through that large campus. And the one pastor is the group. They stood in front of this multi-story, massive building. You see a picture in a few slides. And they lifted his hands up in the air and said, God, this building is too big for us. Would you open these doors? And a year later, they've opened the doors for us to proclaim and set the record straight as to who our God is in the very center, in the very place where his name was run through the mud. That's God.
And after Christmas, we're just waiting for word that we will begin. I will begin with lots of other help to do a Sunday service on the reserve. First time ever. Thank you, Jesus.
So as we've gone along, we've been seeking to honor indigenous values, desire to walk alongside. Everyone sits as equals with an opportunity to speak, inquire, and question, and push back. And one of our indigenous brothers has been a part of this. He said, Dave, this feels so much like a council meeting. Amen. A good chief will lead the meetings, but a good chief will listen to everybody around the table. And so we're adapting how we're sharing so in order to engage that. No voice is put down. Teaching takes place in a relational manner, and truth is shared through the biblical story to a people who is very oral in their tradition. Truth is shared visually using pictures, videos, graphics, and object lessons. Lessons focus on heart transformation, not behavior modification. Truth is presented in everyday English, and first languages are encouraged. And it was so powerful, especially sitting in Pinehouse. There were many times where I would have to pause. I would pause because they would be switching into Cree to discuss what they were learning and giving opportunities for that. And participation is fostered so learners quickly become disciplers according to their gifts as they're ready. Now, what we want to show you now is a documentary that Kamloops Alliance put together. This
Can
is
I
not
just say
our,
something?
We didn't put a dime into this. And we want to tell the story of three of them, Norm and Alfred, who you've met here at a missions conference, and one other disciple of ours from northern Saskatchewan.
I just want to say that before we watch the video, one of the communities that we have done quite a bit of work in, the residential school in Beauval, where my mom and my dad attended, they just discovered 83 findings of bodies in the residential school where they dismantle it. So there's a lot of hurt, but God is God. So this video is all for Jesus.
So yeah, let's watch the video. So we might. Can we turn off these lights here? Probably see better.
You've given us a life, Lord, to take the message of hope to all people, Lord.
Isaganski tingue, mutaskite submutia. Ip misix nuttegue tanti en matadu te tuhtia.
We pray, Lord, for our people all over this land, our indigenous people, Lord. All people, Lord, kiepogo. Thank you, Jesus, for saving our lives.
And I, yagon may em haya, and even a puta so imetsiku gutai sinua, o mawia kantuhta, o muta as it goes on air, yagon magi so imik.
This is the area that we grew up as a family, and this is where I grew up in. Reminds me of coming running through here, full speed. Hear your dad coming in with a boat. Knowing that he's got something, he's got some fish or something to eat. So this is where everything happened for me, and in a way, when I looked out the lake just a minute ago, I felt a jump of joy, just to see the lake again. You could almost hear the voices of our people. my mom hollering at me, shouting, Astam, come, come.
I remember one day my dad said to me that I wouldn't make a good hunter, a fisherman, or a trapper, so he suggested that I go back to school. That's where I basically started the life of drinking and went through relationships, jobs, got married, and I had two children at that time. But I went down that road for 17 years. I drove from La Ronge to Prince Albert, and my goal that weekend, going through a divorce and couldn't see my kids, I thought to myself that I can't see them, I can't have them, so I'm just going to kill them all. Then nobody has anything. I never sobered up all weekend. I was constantly drunk, in and out. I remember going to the bathroom three times. The third time I come out of the bathroom, I just blurted out, I said, God, I don't know who you are, but please take this away from me. I don't want to drink anymore. And it just healed me instantly. I just felt a warmth go through my body. And I never drank again. When I got healed, then my neighbor led me to the Lord. You come to my place, and I'll introduce you to a man who'll take away all your sins. I said, who can do what's happened in my life? We're sitting there, and he opened the Bible, and he showed me John 3:16. He says, for God so loved Norman that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I said, wow. And that's when I accepted the Lord, and my life has changed. I don't need to look back. I don't have to think back. I think now and tomorrow. Today I got grandchildren. I got two beautiful daughters. I just almost want to weep when I see my kids. Here I am driving down the road alone, and I just prayed and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do now? I just feel so all alone. And I just heard in an audible voice, go back to your people, go back home. Tell them about me. And that's what I did. I came back, trip at a time, one trip, another trip, another trip, another community, hearing spiritually to bring the people together and to continue to take the message of salvation, message of Jesus Christ to the people.
We drank lots as kids. We probably started in our early teens, 12, 13, 14 years old. We were held in bondage in alcoholism. And I did many things that I'm not proud of. So by the time I was 15, I quit school, moved, drank and drank. At 17, I was married. Never really thought about life. All I thought about was trying to find that ultimate party, the ultimate fun. I was a very abusive person, a controlling person. I was perfect. It was all her fault, you know, my ex's fault. I knew I needed something to change. I tried changing on my own. I tried native spirituality. I tried, you know, I was a Catholic. I did everything I could, positive thinking, read books. That only helped like day, 2 days, maybe, you know, a month, but always fell back. I didn't have a solid anchor. I started going to church. This guy named KP, and he was a man of God, and showed me a lot of grace, taught me about the Bible, and then slowly God started working in me. And things started changing after that. But it didn't fully change. I didn't fully get the gospel yet. I couldn't, the foundation wasn't there. And then a dear brother of mine, he came to Pine House, Norm, they came and taught the Bible. And then I started understanding about choice. If you don't give a person choice, then they're like robots. Like he did in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. He gave them a choice, life or death. You choose me or you choose the other way. Christ became the center of my operation now. He gave me the strength to overcome many obstacles in my life. When I talk to people, I not only listen to them, but the love to meet them where they're at in their brokenness. Hopefully they could see a little bit of Christ in me, that when they walk away, they could appreciate who Christ is and what he has done in my life.
You want me to do this in super slow mo?
Jesus saw Alfred as a broken man that needed fixing. And Jesus died on the cross for Alfred. And he'd do it all over again for me. He really would. But now he sees Alfred as a child of God. He sees Alfred as loving, compassionate. He sees me as he sees himself now. I'm not a victim, I'm a light. I'm a light that sits on a hill where everybody could see and come. I'm not a victim no more. You know, I'm thankful for God taking the hate out of my life. I'm thankful for the forgiveness that he has given me. Slowly restoring my life. I have my challenges. There's a lot of mourning in my life. I had cancer, advanced. I had peace through it all, but there was mourning. But I mourned with hope, you know. There was triumph in my tears.
My mom used to talk to me about God, that I had to, you know, that he's a holy God. And I didn't want anything to do with it because I loved my way of life. I had a defeated mentality. It's just like, you know, just never amount to anything. Even going back to university to be a teacher, before I was fearful to even try it. But with God in my life, I can do it. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And so I have this sense of the empowerment. I started reading the Bible and I was so amazed. Things started to change in my life. And so that's when my journey began with my husband. I think I prayed maybe 9 years living with a man that the mention of God's name to him is so offensive. I went to church and I seen couples coming together, and I just desired for my husband to be there. And I thought, how long, Lord? I used to say. I came to the desperation in my life. In his drunken state, I would anoint him. I would put oil on his feet and his forehead, and I would pray for him. And when he would get up, he would just, like, you know, he just kind of like, he thought it was the cold sweats because of drinking. But, you know, it is that desperation that I had, and just praying always over my husband. And yeah, then he said in his drunken state, he said, "I see us going like this, apart. And he says, where I'm going, you're not going to come to where I am. So what I'm going to have to do is try and come where you are. And I thought, wow, that has to be God. And then after that, I began to see a change. I began to see his friends moving further and further away. He's seen peace, he's seen joy. I'm so amazed at what God took from the anger, the alcohol, the mood swings, and just like, and now I see an understanding, godly character. Oh, that's the amazing part. It's just like the difference I've seen in him. And within my community, people respect him because they seen a change in him.
I preach on the radio, and I would tell them, and if Christ was to be the center of our community, it won't be perfect, but our culture would flourish. Many people would change. Drugs would go down. Because that's my Jesus. That's what I tell them. That's my Jesus.
Jesus is asking me to go to other communities to reach out. And I can see that it's God all along that does it. We just open our mouth and he does the work and he touches the hearts. One of the places we were sharing, a mayor came up to us and said that's exactly what we need in our community.
We see what's happened in Pinehurst. What God is doing there, it's amazing. Sitting in the cafe and laughing and talking about Jesus. I never thought that would happen. People are sober now. People are laughing and, you know, there's still other stuff, but we just keep going. And now we see our own people speaking their own language and teaching their own people. What a joy. My hope is to continue to go deeper with Jesus. Do what the Bible tells us to do in Matthew 28, to go to all the nations to preach the gospel. Go, share what your testimony, what God has done for you, so other people will know and hear that God Almighty in heaven changed that person, changed his life, and he can do the same for you.
Did you notice some of the statements that Alfred made in the video? Just very, very powerful, powerful statements. He didn't have the gospel despite going to church and seeing God begin to change his life. Many would have celebrated him as a believer prior to that. The gospel became the center of his operation, that Christ died for him personally as a broken man. Many don't know that gospel. God now sees Alfred as he sees his son. Many don't know that level of position in Christ. Then seeing he's no longer a victim. Many would say that Alfred has multiple victim cards, but he's moved beyond it. He had hope through his tears. Many do not know this abundant life in Christ. If Jesus was to become the center of his community, their culture would flourish. Many have a defeated view of their culture, equated entirely with native spirituality. And so Alfred just continues to grow, and just an incredible opportunity that God's in, even Judy, and continue to grow in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. On the back table is some of these resources, the established resources. If you want to look at it, you as a church have helped to develop them, and they're being developed. The first two levels are there now on the back table, and you can see them, 101 and 102, and the little picture book has been translated into French and Spanish already, and it's being translated into Low German by a ministry in Bolivia. And so God is giving us favor in ways that we never thought would be possible, and some equipping resources that are there as well. But here's three ways that you can actually engage with the resources. If you choose to, you can purchase it, be equipped through a seminar, or what Judy and I are involved in is this 10-month equipping, and we're meeting once a week for 10 months with two small groups of believers, one in Kamloops and one in Northwest Saskatchewan. So pray for us as we travel lots. Pray that God would continue to bless and that he would multiply disciples and it would begin a movement throughout Canada and beyond. And so here's the pictures from Kamloops. We already shared this particular piece as to what God is doing there. But pray for us as a team. Pray for the ongoing curriculum development. Pray for our capacity to meet the demand. I pray that God would bless the team's discipling relationships, these 10-month equipping. And then pray for Norm, that God would continue to give safety to him as he continues to network and open more and more doors going forward. So you have another word, brother?
Yeah, I just want to thank every one of you. I want to thank your church for their support. But I would like you to pray. Pray that God in heaven would pour out his grace, his mercy, and his love on all people, but our indigenous people. There's over 7,000 graves found so far. Pray for our missing, murdered indigenous women, boys, and girls. Every day we find there's missing, there's murdered. Pray for the 60 scoop. Many of our people that report in foster homes never returned. Pray to Almighty God for his love, mercy, and his grace.
Do you want to pray as we close this morning, and then we'll turn it back over to Gary.
Father in heaven, I come to you this morning, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord God, that you're a God of all nations, Father. Father, we pray for Osler Mission Chapel, Father. Pray for every man, woman, and child, Father. The Father, we pray for our indigenous people across this land, Father. The only hope, Lord, is you. There's no other, Lord. We pray for Dave as he continues to put material together, Lord, the people that help us edit, like Pastor Bill, Lord. We pray for Kevin and his wife, Lord. They continue to labor with us, Lord. But Father, most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on a cross for every one of us. Thank you very much, and God bless you. Amen.
Well, salt and pepper, thank you very much. I love that. That is fantastic. And you are pretty, I'm assuming you're peppery because you are a little spicy man, young man. And so, yeah, it's fantastic. I actually had the privilege of going with you to that first inaugural visit to Buffalo Narrows, and it was incredible. Here's a poor little guy from Osler, Saskatchewan, who had never been in a setting like this, and this witch doctor walks in. And so Norm was sitting beside me because I stuck really close to him, and I'm like, I think he knew I was a little uneasy, and he said, it's just,
well, Gary,
it'll be okay.
Gary was the one that snored all night, too.
Oh, Norm, you're fantastic. But yeah, and I just want to pray for you guys again. As we've heard that there's many incredible things that are happening, we also recognize that the enemy is also at work. And so we just want to pray for you guys and just continue to remember this ministry and these guys who are putting on incredible miles, but also just the spiritual battle that is there too. Let's pray. Lord God and loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you for what you have done and what you have called these gentlemen to. This whole team, established team, we thank you for them. Thank you for, God, how you are empowering them to work, to create this teaching. And Father, we just thank you that you are bigger than all things. And so, Father, we just want to commit them to you. We thank you for them. Pray for safety for Norm and Dave as they travel and put on many miles. God, that you would just use that time to be able to encourage them, to build into them. And Father, we recognize too that in all of this, as things are moving and growing, that there is also a spiritual battle going on. And so, Father, we want to uphold them in our prayers. Lord God, would you and your army of angels protect them from just all of the things, from discouragement, from the challenges of working with people, from traveling many, many hours. God, would you protect them? Would you bring people from this church who are committed to upholding them in prayer regularly, even on the as they journey, as they interact with people, and as they teach. So, Father, that they would be protected. And God, too, we thank you for the many people who have come to know Jesus in a deeper way. We pray, too, that they would just continue to make disciples. And so, Father, we want to give you all the praise, honor, and glory for what you are doing and what you will do. And, Father, may your hand of protection just go on them. We give you all the praise and glory. And, Father, too, as we go from here, Father, we just give you praise and glory. Thank you that we have had the opportunity as a church to play a small part, a small role in this ministry. And so, Father, I pray, too, that you would just continue to be with us as a church as we serve, as we find ways to be involved, whether it's through giving, whether it's through prayer or encouragement. Father, I pray that we, too, would just be faithful in serving you in that as well. Lord, bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face to you and give you peace. Amen.